Hello, listeners. This is Lee Price.
This is Will Ford from Football 365.
And you're listening, smartly, to At the Bridge Pod, a Chelsea FC podcast, although I would describe it as the Chelsea FC podcast.
It's in a pocket of space. Anderson came and didn't get there. Chance for Chelsea. Goal for Chelsea. Kai Havertz in the Champions League final. And Chelsea take the lead in Porto.
What's up, everyone? You're listening to At the Bridge Pod, a Chelsea FC podcast, your number one source for all things Chelsea. This episode, we're going to be breaking down our dominant performance against Spurs in the Carabao Cup semi-finals, taking a look at the Lukaku apology video, and then previewing the greatest cup competition in the world. Now, here are your hosts, all the way from the UK, Mikey Berth and Chris.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of At the Bridge Pod. It's the first Friday show of the year. Woo! Yeah, that was not very enthusiastic for me, because we're back to the normal routine this week. How are your back-to-work routines, guys?
I'm not going to lie, when I woke up Tuesday, lose track of days, I really was, it was like watching Mourinho's 15-16 team, like, in real life. It was just horrible. It's like a living nightmare when I woke up. But I've got through the week, thankfully. I'm looking forward to this podcast. Chris, how are you doing, my friend?
Well, I'm actually not back at work till the 20th of Jan. So,
all right.
You're going to feel it.
I haven't had that yet, but then I have been at home with the 11-month-old on my own all week, so it's hardly been a week off, if you know what I mean.
I mean, the listeners know, if you're back to work, it's just, yeah, coffee is just injected into you. It's the only way of keeping...
You know what,
I weren't
a coffee drinker before this year, but now I have a vanilla latte every day. It has to be 6 o'clock, 6:30, it has to be my buddy.
I find that whenever I've had any kind of break, especially Christmas, 2 weeks, I go back and I forget everything about what I do. I don't know what... I'm literally the most useless person for the first 2 weeks back. I don't know what I'm doing. My brain, no idea.
You know what, I'm so glad you said that. I've probably got not the easiest job in the world, but I literally all I have to do is just drive and sell sweets. Sounds pretty simple, but even I could find it quite difficult this week.
Yeah, you just go, who am I? What do I do here? Well...
Yeah, I forgot how to drive on Tuesday. Like, what do I do here?
A manual car. To be fair, the American listeners going, that's why we have automatics. Right, kicking off the year with another round of Who Is That Former Blue? This former blue joined us in the year 2000 after winning the La Liga title with Deportivo La Coruña, that iconic side. He played 52 times for us, scored no goals. And you may just know him better as a manager, I'd say, than as a player. Any ideas?
Did you say 2000?
Yes, that's when Deportivo last won, I think, anything as well. He quickly Googles. Yeah.
No, I have no idea, I'm not gonna lie.
Chris?
No idea.
Ooh. Oh, Deportivo did win the La Liga in 2001 too. So, sorry, they have won something since.
I don't know if there's any Deportivo fans.
Intertoto Cup as well in 2008. Well, I'm really bad.
The Deportivo fans are going to be on this podcast screaming at you, Mikey.
Yeah, that wasn't very good. Wasn't very good. But it's another... Well, before I jump to that, I'm getting ahead of myself. With that, we're going to head straight to the newsroom, see what the latest is at Stamford Bridge. Another week, and it's the first week of the year, so let's go straight for the first time this year to our weekly roundup in the elevator of Chelsea news. Thiago Silva has agreed a new one-year deal at the club. This is now official and signed. Real Madrid are no longer considering signing Antonio Rudiger. Atletico Madrid will move for Cesar Azpilicueta to replace Kieran Trippier. Chelsea will fine Romelu Lukaku €500,000 for the interview he gave to Sky Italy. Romelu Lukaku has released a video apology to the Chelsea fan base. Swansea City have contacted Chelsea about the availability of Jake Clark-Salter and Ian Matson. We're reportedly now confident of keeping Antonio Rudiger this summer, and Chelsea have tried but failed to recall Emerson from Lyon, and now we are pursuing other options. I'm going to be honest here, I always am. If you were hungry for Chelsea news, then you'd probably be left wanting to order a takeaway, because none of that filled me up whatsoever. But guys, what are those appetizers got your taste buds going?
I'll talk about the Lukaku apology, shall we say. I've seen this, we had a special on it pretty much on Monday.
It's the greatest apology video I've seen since former Deputy Prime Minister Nick Clegg did one.
But you know what? I think what we can say, whether you like the apology or if you didn't, I thought it was quite good. For me now, that situation has been forgotten about.
Did you write the script?
I did. You caught me out there. I did. Yeah. But no, I think that we need to just move on from that now. Lukaku needs to just forget about what's happened. The fans need to. Thankfully, against Spurs, I don't think I heard any booing for Lukaku. I don't think he had the greatest game, but like, you could tell he wanted to try and he was trying, trying to make things happen. But yeah, I think now we need to just move on from there and focus on winning things.
Oh, I think that's pretty fair. Yeah, you know. I know some people have complained about the style of the video. That is what you get when it's put out by the club. Everything is going to be fine to comb. You're not going to have something where it's on the wall. It's off. It's, you know, kind of at lib, you know, like we when we do a show, it's we have a script, but you're not going to let him go off track. You need him to stay with what's been said because that's just what it is. That's the business. Chris, you were strong with this Romelu Lukaku opinion. So what were your takes on the video?
I liked the apology video, actually. I thought it was...
Co-script writer right there.
I thought it was... what I liked about it is he didn't outright apologise for his comments. And I think that would have been worse. I think at least he stood by what he said, but gave it better context so people could understand what he meant more. On with Berth, I think that should draw the line under it. It hasn't. Because social media after the Spurs game where he didn't score was right on it again about, we need another apology and it doesn't look like he was playing to prove something to the fans. And I think, unfortunately, until something else happens, this will just be something that continues every time he has a bad touch or has a bad game or doesn't score a goal. I just think there'll be certain people who won't let it go. But it looked, hopefully it looks like the Tuchel's moved on. Lukaku's moved on and the squad have, and hopefully we can just get back to where we was the day before all this happened.
I agree. I mean, draw a line, move forward. We can't keep, we need him. We need a goal scorer and he is the goal scorer. You know, we spent the money we did. I was excited. That's a poor choice of words. I was intrigued to see Antonio Rudiger news this week and it was positive. That was even more intriguing. Are we slowly believing that he's going to stay, or is it just another bit of news that next week he's going to be talking to Juventus or something?
It's an interesting one. I'd love for him to stay, but I don't know. It seems like you do think that if a deal was going to be done, it'd have already happened by now, don't you think?
I don't know. I really don't know.
I think he's going to stay, actually.
It has seemingly shifted from definitely going to he might actually stay now, which is surprising. But I feel that the longer and longer it goes on, he doesn't sign anything, then he's going to go.
I mean, you know, quote another podcast around the NFL I listen to, and they have sandwich bets. And if I could put one forward, I would say at the beginning of next season, Rudiger will have signed a new deal, but Christensen will have left. I'm starting to edge towards that. That's what I'm thinking. And I am shocked I'm saying this.
But at the end of the day, though, I'd much rather keep Rudiger than Christensen.
Yeah, 100%.
This could age like milk when it's the start of the new season. We're like, well, we're glad we've got Christensen instead of Rudiger.
I want to keep Christensen as well. But if I was to pick between the two...
I agree. I really do. This week, though, it saw the return of the League Cup. Now, the London team's wanting to play. Others chose not to. I'm not going to mention which team we play in red. We could mean, though, listeners. But the first leg of the semi-final, and it was Chelsea 2, Spurs 0. King Kai and a comical own goal sealed the advantage. Was this a good performance or a win gift-wrapped to us by Spurs? Maybe a bit of both.
I thought it was a really good performance, to be honest. I think it's the most energy we've played. But to be fair, we had that energy in the Liverpool game as well. But I thought, considering our team, I thought everyone was fantastic. They did their jobs perfectly well. There was no silly mistakes. We moved the ball quickly. I thought, for me, the man of the match was Saul. I thought he was so, so good. He made tackles. He made passes. He didn't give away the ball. He was getting up and down. I thought he was superb. I thought Ziyech was fantastic in this. I mean, I don't think anyone really knows what formation he's playing. It's like a hybrid of 3-4-2 and 4-2-2, whatever you want to call it. I thought Ziyech was fantastic and really showed how good he can be. And I thought Malang Sarr was really good as well. I think he can be quite rash at times, Malang Sarr. I think that lets him down a bit. But I thought he marshalled Son and Harry Kane really, really well. And I think overall, we definitely deserved the 2-goal lead. And it should have been more, really. But it is what it is.
Yeah, 100% on that. I mean... Saul put in his best performance yet in a Chelsea jersey. I mean, okay, it's hardly hard to do that considering his previous. But fair play, you know. The change in formation, I think, probably really helped him. And maybe we should see this 4-2-3-1 a bit more. You know, it's solid in the back. It possessed quite well in midfield. We did amazing against Spurs, let's be honest. It worked so well. And Saul was key to that, which is, again, words we never thought we would be uttering. So, again, that's only a positive. What did you think, Chris?
I thought overall the performance was almost faultless from everybody. I can't remember a time where I looked and thought we've made a mistake there. I think the first 5 minutes of the second half, Spurs started quite well. Had a couple of half chances, but then we regained control again. And I think I agree with Berth. I think Saul and Ziyech was the standout players, but everyone had a really solid game. And the formation change is interesting because I think it showed Tuchel and the players almost that we're not reliant on having that many defenders to be able to defend properly. I think that was everyone's concern, that if you go to a back four, all of our players defensively, probably aside from Thiago Silva, get worse. But I think it showed that if you play it right, that's not always the case. And I do think going forward, while James and Chilwell are out, I think that back four looked better because you're not trying to shoehorn players into positions where they don't play. Alonso, we know, is a better wing back than a left back, granted, but everyone else who can take his space if he needs to be rested isn't a wing back at all. Whereas I think Malang Sarr can play left back because he has done a few times before. And then Azpilicueta is a solid enough right back. I think he's probably a better right back than he is wing back. And I think it did help us going forward. I think it was the best we've played going forward in a long time. And we're not always creating the chance at the end of it, but there were so many more 1-2s and combination players around the edge of the box that we've been lacking lately because we had more people in attack. And I just think it's definitely something to look at going forward, especially while James and Chilwell are out.
Yeah, I mean, the stats, you know, you can look at them all day long and get any conclusion. But when you look at them, we had quadruple the amount of shots than Spurs did. I mean, first of all, that's 5-19, so nearly quadruple. We had double the amount of passes, which is fantastic. 64% possession. We did dominate. We really, really dominated, which is, you know, Spurs can always be Spursy. We know that. But they're still, especially under Conte, you know what you're going to get. You're going to get a decent drilled side. And we made them look average. We really did. And it's, I mean, you know, Christian Pulisic, I mean, he's played centre forward, left wing back, right wing back, and now just standard right back so far this season. And he's becoming like Jesus Navas. But did you think he did quite well in that game?
I think Pulisic is actually, I didn't really think of it, but he's actually a really good versatile player. Like, I mean,
he only got 10 minutes, but I still think...
He was effective. He didn't do anything that you stood up and went, wow, but he did his job, and that's all we can ask for. I mean, Chris obviously said he was terrible against Liverpool, basically. But, you know, I think Pulisic is a very good player to come off the bench. He's a very good impact player, Pulisic. And I'm not saying he shouldn't start, but I'm just saying his best games, I think, are always the ones that come off the bench. And against Tottenham, I mean, he was superb because he doesn't stop running and you can play him anywhere and he can do a job anywhere. So if you've got that at your disposal, I think it's always just a tremendous player to have.
Yeah, I do agree. I think his work rate, I never questioned that. And I think I made that clear on Monday. Was it Monday or last week? Whenever it was.
No one knows anymore, Chris.
No, who knows now? Whenever it was anyway, that I can't ever fault his work rate. And it was the same against Tottenham. He comes on and he works really hard. And he's become a real team player. But I think the problem I have is that by becoming such a team player, he's almost lost the stuff he was good at. He seems more concerned now about doing the running and keeping the ball than trying to make things happen, which I think is fine. It's probably good, actually. If he is going to play wing back, that's probably what I'd want. Not giving the ball away in stupid areas, happy to keep the ball, working really hard up and down the line. But when he plays as part of the forward line, he has to do more. And like he did prior to all the injuries, when he would get the ball and he would go past people and he'd make things happen. I don't want him to lose that from his game by being a team player. It, like, he's almost like he's almost like Park Ji-sung at Man United. Like, really effective at what he does, incredible work rate, but he's never going to win you a game, really. Whereas the Pulisic before the injuries was someone who could win you a game. He was becoming our X factor player, and I just think he's lost that.
Yeah, I can sort of see where you're coming from there. I mean, one player who looked lost a year or two ago, who doesn't look that lost now, Kepa. What a commanding display. I mean, he has been different class, a different level under Tuchel. I mean, is Kepa better than Mendy? Not really. Let's go, you know. But is he the best backup goalkeeper in the Premier League? I would say yes. He made some key saves again on, it was Wednesday, wasn't it? Yeah. So what did you make of Kepa?
He's definitely got his confidence back. That is one thing I would say. Obviously, he's no Mendy. And for £72 million, you'd like to think he would be the second best keeper, the best backup keeper in the league. But he looks to me like he's just bulked up a fair bit. I don't know if you two have noticed that, but he just looks a bit more of a presence now. He made a few shots. Can't get my words out. A few saves. And the best thing about them was he wasn't carrying them into the box, he's carrying them out or away from the players, which is really good keeping. He's coming for corners. His distribution was really, really good, as it always is. I actually do think he's better with his feet than Mendy is. It was just an all-round solid performance. And it's been a while since he's made a mistake. And with Mendy, the African Cup of Nations, you'd like to think that Kepa will sort of not give Mendy the boot out of the team, but you'd like to think you'd give him a bit of a message by saying, look, I'm still here. I'm still a really good keeper. You're number one at the moment, but I'm looking to take you over again. So, and that can only mean good things for Chelsea, I think.
What do you think, Chris?
I agree with everything Berth just said, and I do think he has bulked up. He looks more ready for the Premier League now, similar to David De Gea when he first went to Man United. He was very similar to Kepa, made a lot of mistakes, didn't like the physical side of the game. And then as he got bigger and he got more used to the league, he went on and he's become one of the best keepers in the league. Kepa looks like he's got his confidence back as well. And I think that comes from, it's been a long time now since he's made a mistake. Yeah. Whereas
that's true.
Under Lampard, it was mistake after mistake after mistake after mistake. And that is going to knock your confidence. And I think taking him out of the team and making him number two has actually got the best out of him. I've also got a theory that I think he's really been helped by Mendy and when Petr Cech went back to training. I think having those two goalkeepers around him has made him better, because you think he's learning off Mendy every day now and off Cech back end of last season when Cech come back in and was training with the team. Whereas before, when he first signed, I don't think the other goalkeepers around him was high calibre to really teach him much or push him to get the best out of himself.
You know what, Chris? That's funny you should say that, because the keeper's, his backup keeper is Willy Caballero. And Willy Caballero is a good keeper, but he's predominantly known for how good he is with his feet and penalty saving and this and that. Whereas Cech and Mendy are predominantly known for their shot stopping, their commanding of their area. So it's probably a different dynamic that Kepa hasn't seen before. He hasn't seen this side of, like, obviously, he's been taught how to save shots. Obviously, that was going to happen. But it's probably Mendy and Cech are elite shot stoppers. Willy Caballero wasn't.
We're going to need him, because obviously with Eduard Mendy at the AFCON, and that starts Sunday, listeners. If you got Sky Sports, it's on there. So I'm gonna keep an eye on it. Watch a few games. It'll be quite interesting to watch. I'll make a comment on a player that's not going to the African Cup of Nations. He didn't get selected. Hakim Ziyech, he gets quite a lot of disrespect, I feel, on social media. Okay, look, he does lose possession. I understand why that's frustrating, but I suppose that's going to happen. I mean, even more so when a player's speciality, which is his, is those risky passes that if they come off, they're amazing. If they don't, you're going to get that backlash. You know, obviously, I've been on Twitter for some years now, obviously, with the podcast channel. And I remember the years where our players refused to make those passes. you know, those showbiz ones, the risky pass, especially during our back pass era. That's too many passes to say. But I remember everyone complained about that and how no one on the pitch could pick the lock, find that pass, make the risk. Ziyech does exactly that. Okay, and he gets no recognition. He really does deserve it, because when he misplaces the pass or loses the ball, all the critics do come out. But when he does deliver one, he doesn't seem to get that praise. And he does press like an absolute madman. He's amazing in the press. And he does it all game. And I feel he should get credit. I mean, what do you think on this one, guys?
Yeah, I think he's actually quite underrated by the fan base. Like you said, Marky, what impresses me about Ziyech is his pressing is very, very good. But his energy levels, for someone who's a bit of a maverick, Ziyech, on the ball, you know, he's not like Tarap, but he's the same sort of luxury player, if you know what I mean. But Ziyech actually works for the team, and he works to try and get the ball back, which is something you don't see very often from these luxury players. So for me, I'll always respect Ziyech for that. But his left foot is so, so good. The only thing that is wrong with Ziyech is that he can be a bit too one-dimensional at times, and that, I think, is his problem in the Premier League, where team presses too quickly. He's trying to get onto that left foot and he can't. But his pass, I mean, Werner should have scored a goal, and Ziyech's pass to Werner for that chance was sublime, really. It must have been about a 30-40 yard pass along the floor, and it was just a ridiculous pass to make. And we haven't got anyone else like Ziyech, so I think we need to keep him around. I mean, there's always talk about him leaving and not being happy. I do think he should get more game time, because it's something different. But yeah, I definitely agree that he's almost a bit sort of slept on in the Chelsea community.
Yeah, I agree. Because sometimes he plays with almost an arrogance. I think people assume that he's lazy. I think because he gives off that vibe that he wouldn't be a hard worker. But if you actually watch him, when the time is right to go and press the ball, he will run and press the ball. He doesn't stand around and let his men go. I thought he worked really hard on Wednesday night. The few times when he was caught out positionally and he had to run 30, 40 yards to get back in, he didn't stop sprinting until he got there. So my only problem with Ziyech is, I agree with you, Mikey, I like players, especially forward players, who play risky, who would rather give the ball away trying to unlock the defence than just keep the ball. My only problem with Ziyech is I think he has to learn that if he tries one of those spectacular Hollywood passes and it doesn't come off, don't do it again with your next pass. I think the only times I've seen him play really badly is when he's tried it every single time he's got the ball, and he's ended up giving the ball away like four times in a row. Yeah. I think that's the fans will get on your case. Whereas I think if he tries it once, it doesn't come off. The next pass, he keeps the ball. Then the next time it comes to him, he can try that pass again. And if it doesn't come off, no one will remember, because he's kept the ball a couple of times in between. I think he just has to remember that not every pass has to be the Hollywood pass, but that pass to Werner was unbelievable.
Oh, 100%. It really, really, really was. Obviously, we've got the advantage in the League Cup. We don't play till... It's next week, isn't it? It's a quick turnaround, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a... And then Spurs at the end of the month. And it looks like Heung-min Son is now out for the whole of this month, so he's one less worry for us to deal with. However, we are still in cup action. It will be tomorrow, time of recording. Chesterfield, National League tabletoppers. I'm expecting a lot of changes. It looks like from all the social media tweets and everything from the club that Marcus Bettinelli will make his debut. It's going to be a much changed side. Who are you excited to see? I think that's the best question to ask here.
Well, I mean, I'm presuming he's going to play a lot of the kids. Harvey Vale. His IOP players, because I was really, really impressed with him against Brentford. I thought he looked electric, and he did get a bit of time against Spurs, but...
I'd love to see Jude Soon-Suk-Bell as
Yeah, again, those type of players, I thought, showed how good they can be against Brentford, and it'd be another good showing for them again against Chesterfield, which, look, they're in the National Conference, whatever it's called. They will be a difficult team to beat, however way you look at it. It's the FA Cup, they're going to be so up for it, so you can't take it for granted. But when you've got players like Harvey Vale, who just look so natural when they go into this team, and Soon-Suk-Bell and players like that, and Simmons, again, like he played well against Brentford, you just took all make sure that they know what their job is. They'll make sure they get the job done. They've got to enjoy it, but they need to make sure that they don't overdo it. Just enjoy themselves, express themselves, and make sure that they prove to everyone that they deserve to be at Chelsea.
Yeah, I think the three that started against Brentford, I'd like to see again. I think Malang Sarr deserves another start. I thought he was good on Wednesday night as well, actually. Definitely, yeah, best performance, definitely. So I'd like to see him again. Loftus-Cheek, I'd like to see start just to see whether he's got over this injury, because he sort of seemed to get injured, but no one really said much about what it was or what was wrong with him. And then he just seemed to miss a few games, and it's like, oh, forgot about Loftus-Cheek until he come back. And I'd like to see Werner start, actually, because I thought he looked sharp on Wednesday when he come on. And I think it's a good game to get these players minutes, because we will dominate the ball. So there won't be an overly amount of hard running off the ball for these players to do, because I imagine that Chesterfield will come and sit deep and play long balls. So midfield and the wide players shouldn't have too much work to go through. So it's a good game, really, to get Werner minutes, get Loftus-Cheek minutes coming back from injury and COVID in a less intense game than obviously it will be the week after.
Mm. I mean, we've got to let, I've noticed this more so with NFL, obviously with COVID, but players that come back, it does take them a bit to get up to speed. And that's not just because they've been out, but the impact, it really is such a diverse, you know, the impact is different for every single individual. It's some players are back straight away, and you notice they're back to who you knew them as before they obviously contracted the virus. Others are not. So hopefully, you know, Timo is going to be getting up to speed. But yeah, it's one to keep an eye on. I mean, obviously, Chesterfield have the top scorer in the National League. He's got 18 goals. He's only played 20 games as well. Kabongo Shimanga. So, yeah, that was a hard name to pronounce, but I think I've nailed it.
Nailed it. Definitely.
Yeah, I think he'll be one to watch just because, you know, he's the top scorer for a reason. Doesn't matter at what level you are, you can still score goals. And, you know, we got shocked. I don't know where, I think it was the FA Cup against Bradford, and I'll never forget that. We were winning 2-0 and still lost 4-2.
And we lost 4-2.
Let's not get too confident. And but I don't, Tuchel did say he's not taking it for granted either.
And we did win the Premier League when we lost 4-2 to Bradford that year. So,
it's a shock game when it's got its own wiki article.
Has it actually?
Yes, it has, yeah.
Wow.
I think, though, the Bradford, I think, wasn't they? There was no lower than League 2, was they, at the time?
And didn't they have a good cup running the League Cup as well that year? Or was it the year before?
No, I think it was that year they got to the final, didn't they? Didn't they lose like 5-0 to Swansea?
It was the 14-15 FA Cup, I remember that.
Yeah. Might have been the year before that Bradford got into the final, then the League Cup final.
What I would say is, yes, we shouldn't be taking Chesterfield lightly, but this must be the biggest difference between league places for teams in the FA Cup this round, surely. We're second in the Premier League and they're top of the National League, but it's, what's that, fourth, fifth tier? This would be like the biggest FA Cup upset ever. So, yes, we can't take them lightly, but at the same time, I do think we can afford to put a couple of the kids in and not worry too much.
Yeah, Bradford got to the League Cup final in the 2012-2013 season, so two seasons prior to when we got, obviously, shocked.
So, it was close. So.
Close enough. Yeah, hopefully it's going to be a nice kickabout and we win 4-5-0, hopefully. You never know with an FA Cup. There's always an upset. So, yes. Before we sign off, though, it's time to find out who is that former Blue. At the start, I'm going to remind you of the clues. We had that he joined us in the year 2000 after winning La Liga title with Deportivo. He's played 52 times for us, scored no goals. And many know him better as a manager than as a player. Now, I'm going to give you extra clues because it's only fair. As a manager, he has won the Serbian Superliga twice. Back-to-back years, same with the Serbian Cup. And if you don't know who he is by there, I will give his clubs managed in order. So jump in if you think I know this. Right, Partizan. Wang Thong United.
Sorry, can you say that team name again, please?
yeah, it's I don't know if that's how you say it, but Wang Thong United. Levski Sofia. Hercules. Watford, Maccabi Tel Aviv. You not got it yet?
I think I know. I need you to say one more team there, and
you know what? You know the next team, and it's just going to be Fulham.
Yeah, I got it.
Chris, have you got it?
Yeah,
Go on, who you can go together or one at a time. It's up to
Chris,
you.
I'll let you go. I'll normally jump in. I'll let you go this one.
But I don't know how to pronounce his name, to be fair.
Is it Stefanovic?
It is indeed. It is the Sheffield United, former Sheffield United manager, who's been out of work since the 25th of November of last year. Yes, Stefanovic, Jokanovic. Yeah, I should have really got ready for that. Slav Jokanovic. Yes, yes.
I don't know, Mark, you've been nailing all these pronunciations.
Oh, I really haven't. I try my best.
We appreciate you trying your best, don't we?
Yeah, I mean, he did play for us. There's loads of players that... Yeah. There's one former Blue. I'm not going to say his name because I do want to put him in, but even I forget he played for us. It's one of them where I'm like, oh, yeah, he did. Oh,
there's loads of them.
There is a lot of them. There really, really is. With that, though, we've come to the end of another episode of At The Bridge Pod. As always, you can find us on Twitter and Instagram if you do not already follow us, just by searching for at The Bridge Pod. If you listen on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, you can leave us a 5-star review. It does help us out. And it's truly appreciated. Till next week, though, that's us signing off.